Friday afternoon, I was sitting with Grover at the lake, resting from a near-death experience on the climbing wall. Grover had scampered to the top like a mountain goat, but the lava had almost gotten me. My shirt had smoking holes in it. The hairs had been singed off my forearms. We sat on the pier, watching the naiads do underwater basket weaving, until I got up the nerve to ask Grover how his conversation had gone with Mr. D. His face turned a sickly shade of yellow. "Fine," he said. "Just great." "So your career is still on track?" He glanced at me nervously. "Chiron told you I want a searcher's license?" "Well, no." I had no idea what a searcher's license was, but it didn't seem like the right time to ask. "He just said you had big plans, you know, and that you needed credit for completing a keeper's assignment. So did you get it?" Grover looked down at the naiads. Mr. D suspended judgment. He said I hadn't failed or succeeded with you yet, so our fates were still tied together. If you got a quest and I went along to protect you and we both came back alive, then maybe he'd consider the job complete. My spirits lifted. "Well, that's not so bad, right?" "Blah!" He might as well have transferred me to stable cleaning duty. "The chances of you getting a quest, and even if you did, why would you want me along?" "Of course I'd want you along." Grover stared glumly into the water. Basket weaving. Must be nice to have a useful skill. I tried to reassure him that he had lots of talents, but that just made him look more miserable. We talked about canoeing and swordplay for a while, then debated the pros and cons of the different gods. Finally, I asked him about the 4 empty cabins. Number 8, the silver one, belongs to Artemis, he said. She vowed to be a maiden forever, so of course, no kids. The cabin is, you know, honorary. If she didn't have one, she'd be mad. Yeah, okay, but the other 3, the ones at the end, are those the big 3? Grover tensed. We were getting close to a touchy subject. No, one of them, number 2, is Hera's, he said. That's another honorary thing. She's the goddess of marriage, so of course she wouldn't go around having affairs with mortals. That's her husband's job. When we say the big 3, we mean the 3 powerful brothers, the sons of Kronos. Zeus, Poseidon, Hades. Right, you know. After the great battle with the Titans, they took over the world from their dad and drew lots to decide who got what. Zeus got the sky, I remembered. Poseidon the sea, Hades the underworld. Uh-huh. But Hades doesn't have a cabin here. No, he doesn't have a throne on Olympus either. He sort of does his own thing down in the underworld. If he did have a cabin here, Grover shuddered. Well, it wouldn't be pleasant. Let's leave it at that. But Zeus and Poseidon, they both had like a bazillion kids in the myths. Why are their cabins empty? Grover shifted his hooves uncomfortably. About 60 years ago, after World War II, the Big 3 agreed they wouldn't sire any more heroes. Their children were just too powerful. They were affecting the course of human events too much, causing too much carnage. World War II, you know, that was basically a fight between the sons of Zeus and Poseidon on one side and the sons of Hades on the other. The winning side, Zeus and Poseidon, made Hades swear an oath with them, no more affairs with mortal women. They all swore on the river Styx. Thunder boomed. I said, "That's the most serious oath you can make." Grover nodded. "And the brothers kept their word, no kids?" Grover's face darkened. 17 years ago, Zeus fell off the wagon. There was this TV starlet with a big fluffy 80s hairdo. He just couldn't help himself. When their child was born, a little girl named Thalia, well, the river Styx is serious about promises. Zeus himself got off easy because he's immortal, but he brought a terrible fate on his daughter. "But that isn't fair. It wasn't the little girl's fault." Grover hesitated. "Percy, children of the Big 3 have powers greater than other half-bloods. They have a strong aura, a scent that attracts monsters. When Hades found out about the girl, he wasn't too happy about Zeus breaking his oath. Hades let the worst monsters out of Tartarus to torment Thalia. A satyr was assigned to be her keeper when she was 12, but there was nothing he could do. He tried to escort her here with a couple of other half-bloods she'd befriended. They almost made it. They got all the way to the top of that hill. He pointed across the valley to the pine tree where it fought the Minotaur. All three kindly ones were after them, along with a horde of hellhounds. They were about to be overrun when Thalia told her satyr to take the other two half-bloods to safety while she held off the monsters. She was wounded and tired, and she didn't want to live like a hunted animal. The satyr didn't want to leave her, but he couldn't change her mind, and he had to protect the others. So Thalia made her final stand alone at the top of that hill. As she died, Zeus took pity on her. He turned her into that pine tree. Her spirit still helps protect the borders of the valley. That's why the hill is called Half-Blood Hill. I stared at the pine in the distance. The story made me feel hollow and guilty, too. A girl my age had sacrificed herself to save her friends. She had faced a whole army of monsters. Next to that, my victory over the Minotaur didn't seem like much. I wondered, if I'd acted differently, could I have saved my mother? "Grover," I said, "have heroes really gone on quests to the underworld?" "Sometimes," he said. "Orpheus, Hercules, Houdini."
"And have they ever returned somebody from the dead?"
"No, never. Orpheus came close."
"Percy, you're not seriously thinking..."
"No."
I lied.
"I was just wondering, so a satyr is always assigned to guard a demigod?"
Grover studied me warily.
I hadn't persuaded him that I'd really dropped the underworld idea.
"Not always. We go undercover to a lot of schools. We try to sniff out the half-bloods who have the makings of great heroes. If we find one with a very strong aura, like a child of the Big Three, we alert Chiron. He tries to keep an eye on them, since they could cause really huge problems."
"And you found me. Chiron said you thought I might be something special."
Grover looked as if I'd just led him into a trap.
"I didn't..."
"Oh, listen, don't think like that. If you were, you know, you'd never ever be allowed a quest, and I'd never get my license. You're probably a child of Hermes, or maybe even one of the minor gods, like Nemesis, the god of revenge. Don't worry, okay?"
I got the idea he was reassuring himself more than me.